Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the beginning of the new perek, the 16th perek of Shabbos, perek Kol Kisvei. Before we begin the Mishnah, we glance at the side of the Gemara under our No Say, our topic heading, where we have written Hatzolas Kisvei HaKodesh B'Shabbos V'tnei HaDleika. We will deal with the issue of preserving or saving holy writings like a Sefer Torah or a Nevi'im Ksuvim that are in danger of being consumed by flames. And the issue is carrying the Sefer Torah or the other holy scroll out of a house and into an area that's an enclosed area, but there is no Eruv necessarily present, so that if it were some other matter, some other item, and it wasn't in a fire situation, there would be a prohibition, a rabbinic prohibition of carrying it from the house to the courtyard. However, since we're dealing with a holy scroll, and the issue is a rabbinic issue, therefore the rabbis themselves said that under these circumstances, our law our restrictive law does not apply. So the Mishnah, Kol Kisvei HaKodesh Matzilin Oison Mipnei HaDleika, all holy scrolls, holy writings, we will save them from flames, Bein Shekorin Bohen, Bein She'ein Korin Bohen, whether one is entitled to read from them or one is not. V'afal pi shiksuvim b'chol lashon, and even though they may be written in other languages, you're dealing with a translation of them, Te'unin Geniza, they would require burial. In other words, one is not allowed to leave them in an open area that they should be ruined. Why would one say that one cannot read from them? After all, you're dealing with holy writings. Answer, Mipnei Bitol Beis Hamedrash. Shabbos was a time that there was a public lecture, and in the public lecture, the public Torah lecture contained teachings of a legal, of halacha nature. And people, if they were allowed to read from these holy scrolls, they contained many stories, and that would draw them away from attending the lecture, so there is such a restriction. Let us glance at the Rashi at the top of the Mishnah, that is, Kol Kisvei HaKodesh, Kigon Torah Nevi'im Uksivim, all of the three parts of the holy writings, Velo Teimo Torah Lechud Hu Deshori Lemitrach Letzui Velo Shar Svarim. The expression Kol Kisvei HaKodesh comes to include Nevi'im Uksivim so as to preclude the thought that maybe the allowance, the leniency here is only with regard to the five books of the Torah. We continue now in the Gemara, but before we do so, we glance at the side under our No Say heading. We've written Kisvei HaKodesh Shekesuvim B'chol Lashon, holy writings that are written in other languages. E Matzilin Oison B'Shabbos Mipnei HaDleika, is one to save them from being consumed in flames. We have a note here under the heading Mivnei HaGemara, point number one, Machlokes Rav Chisda V'Rav Huna. We will see a machlokis between Rav Chisda and Rav Huna, and the machlokis, the Gemara will point out, is Lamad Omar Lo Nitnu Likros Bahen, according to the opinion that one is not to read from these works. Nevertheless, there will be an opinion that says you can nevertheless save them from the flames, and that will be Rav Chisda's opinion. Rav Huna will disagree. And another point, as we deal with the structure of the Gemara, there will be three kushios l'Rav Huna, three questions challenging Rav Huna, And Besof, Rav Huna Mitaretz, Tanoihi. And at the end of this piece of Gemara, toward the lower part of the page, Rav Huna will say that the issue is a machloikes tanoim. And as we will, when we proceed into the Gemara, we have a series of triangles that will appear, and we note under our mivne heading kushios. These are going to be questions mimakoros from Tanaic sources al Rav Huna. On Rav Huna, Sha'omar de Kisvei HaKodesh Iksuvim B'chol Lashon Ein Matzilin. His opinion was that Kisvei HaKodesh that are written in other languages, so one is not allowed to save them from the flames. Now we turn to the Gemara. Itmar, Hoyu Ksuvim Targum O B'chol Lashon. Holy writings that are written in Targum is Aramaic or in other any other language. Rav Huna Omar Ein Matzilin Osom Et Me'ad Leka. Rav Huna says one is not allowed to save them, to take them from the house into the courtyard, to preserve them from the flames. Rav Chista Omar Matzilin Osom Mipnei Hadleka. Rav Chista says you are allowed to save them. The Gemara continues, Aliba deman de Omar nitnu likros bohen, according to the opinion that will appear later in the Gemara, but according to the opinion that says you are allowed to read from them, de kuleama lo pligi de matzilin, everyone agrees that you would be allowed to save them from the flames. In other words, you're saving something that is of a, not only is it of a holy nature, but it's something that people would learn from. Learn these books. Aliba kipligi, aliba demand de omar lo nitnu likros ben. We're arguing within the opinion that says that you're not supposed to learn or read from these scrolls. And one might say, even on Shabbos, one is not to read from them. Rav Huna omar ein matzilin, you're not entitled to save them from the flames. Deha lo nitnu likros ben, it's something that you're not allowed to read from. And being that you can't read from it, so it doesn't have any real Shabbos value. Rav Chista Omar Matzilin, that Rav Chista says, even though you're not allowed to read from them, but nevertheless you can save them from the flames, Mishum Bizoyon Kisvei HaKodesh, so as to protect them from being denigrated and disparaged by being burnt in fire. We have a triangle, and as we indicated before, we're going to start here a series of questions against Rav Huna. And if you can scan down the Gemara, you might notice a diagonal dashed underline that appears from time to time, at which you see we've highlighted Omar Loch Rav Huna. This is at each point Rav Huna has a response. So the first question, Tanan. It's our Mishnah. Kol Kisvei HaKodesh Matzilin Osom Et Me'ad Leka. All holy writings, you save them from the fires. Bein shikurin bohen, bein shein kurin bohen. Whether you read from them or not, v'afalpi shiksuvim b'chol lashon, even though they are written in other languages. Now, my lav shikurin bohen equals neviim. Is it not so that kurin bohen is a reference to neviim, to the book of the prophets? And v'she'ein koren bohen, the expression in this source that says ein koren bohen, that equals ksuvim, the latter writings, which includes like the five Megillus, Kohelis, the five Megillus, which includes Kohelis, of course, and the book of Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, those are the ksuvim, afalpi shiksuvim b'chol lashon, even though they are written in other languages, delo nitnu likros bohen, that you don't read from them, v'kotani matzilin, and it says in this source, it says in our Mishnah, they are to be saved. Utyufto de Rav Huna. This is counter to Rav Huna. Rav Huna had said that according to the Man d'Omar of Lo Nitnu Likros Bohen Ein Matzilin. Here we have a statement of Lo Nitnu Likros Bohen, and yet we are Matzilin. Omar Loch Rav Huna. Rav Huna responds V'tisbara. According to your approach, Amos Seifa. Read the end of the Mishnah, the continuation. It said Teunin Geniza. It says that they require burial. Well, Hashtar Tsurimi Matzalino Geniza Mabaya. Once you tell me you're allowed to save them from a fire on Shabbos, which involves a type of rabbinic violation and yet we're allowing you to do that, Genizim, but do I have to tell you that they require burial? That would be very obvious. Why does the Mishnah have to tell me that? Ella Rav Huna Mataretz L'Tamei, Rav Chisda Mataretz L'Tamei. Each one, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, will explain the Mishnah according to their respective opinions. And you can see we've underlined here Rav Huna Mataretz L'Tamei and call this Aleph. And a few lines later, also an underline will appear, Rav Chisda Mataretz L'Tamei, and we call that Beis. So Rav Huna Mataretz L'Tamei, Rav Huna will explain the Mishnah along his lines. Bein Shikorin Bahen, that expression is Nevi'im. Ubein She'ein Koren Bahen, that's a reference to Ksuvim. Bameh Dvor Mamurim, when is it that you can save them? Shiksuvin B'Loshon HaKodesh, that's when they're written in Hebrew. Avo B'chol Loshon Ein Matzilin, but if they are written in other languages, so you cannot save them. And if you just go back to the very beginning of the Gemara, this is what Rav Huna said. He said, if you have the holy writings that are written in B'chol Lashon, Rav Huna says, Ein Matzilin, O son. And you can see we dashed underline at the beginning of the Gemara, and we dashed underline over here, B'chol Lashon, and we highlight Ein Matzilin. V'afilu hachi, even though you wouldn't be allowed to save them from a fire, Geniza bo, they will require burial. Rashi says, under the Gemara, the end of the first wide line under the Gemara, Filochi Bo Geniza, Udekotani, that which it says, V'afal Pishik Suvim B'choloshon, even though something may be written in any language, Lav Atzolokoi, it's not going on the issue of Hatzola, Ela Atunin Geniza, because as far as something written b'chol lashon, Rav Huna says ein matzilin. So the expression of v'yafal v'shiksu b'chol lashon is there in the Mishnah for the issue of Geniza. V'hachi komar, and thusly we are to understand things. Afal p'shiksu b'chol lashon u'b'shabbos ein matzilin osan. Even though the holy writing might be in other languages, and on Shabbos I wouldn't be able to save it from a fire. B'chol miha tunin geniza. If it's a weekday and the holy writing that is written in other languages becomes worn out and it needs to be, what do you do with it then? It needs to be buried. The Gemara continues. Rav Chisda mitaretz l'tamei. Bein shikorin bohen is nevi'im. Ubein she'ein korin bohen is ksuvim. Afal pi shiksuvim b'chol lashon. Nami, even if they are written in other languages, also Matzilin. You would save them from a fire on Shabbos. Now, if that's the case, if you're telling me I'll save, even if it's written in other languages, from a fire, what am I going to do with the expression of Te'unin Geniza? V'hochi Ko'omar. And the Gemara here explains, in light of that question, this is how to understand things. Umekak Shelahen Te'unin Geniza, that when these works get worn out, when they rot, they will need Geniza. So that the Te'unin Geniza is going on the situation of their rotting. The Gemara continues. Meisve, another question. Hayuksuvim targum ubechol lashon matzilin osan mipnei hadleika. If they are written in the Aramaic or any other language, the holy works require, they are to be saved from a fire. Tiyufta the Rav Huna, this would repudiate Rav Huna. Omalach Rav Huna. Rav Huna answers, Hai Tana Savar Nitnu Likros Bohen. This Tana is of the opinion that one is allowed to read from them. And as we said earlier, according to the Manda Omar, that it's Nitnu Likros, even Rav Huna concedes, you're allowed to save it from the fire. Toshma Hoyuksuvim Giftis, Modis, Ivris, Ilmis, Yvonis. These are names of different languages. Giftis and Modis are different languages. Ivris, Rashi explains, Ivris is Ksav Shel Eivr Hanor. It's a reference to a different type of script. So if it's written in Ivris or Ilmis or Yavanis, these are different languages. Afalpi shelo nitnu likros bohen, even though one is not allowed to read from them, matzilin oisim ebnei adleka, they can be saved from the fire and brought into the courtyard that lacks an eruv. Tiufta de Rav Huna, is this not a repudiation of Rav Huna? Because here you have a source saying that you're lo nitnu likros, and it's written in other languages, and yet you're saving it from the fire. Omar lach Rav Huna, tanoi hi. Rav Huna says that this issue is a machloikis tanoim. In other words, my opinion can be found in tanoim, and Rav Chista's opinion can also be found in tanoim. This Sanya, and we present a Tanaic source, but we must point out at the outset that the machlokes Tanoim that we are looking for will be explained later in the Gemara. In other words, we'll have to get to Omid Beis before we can see the Tanoi that we are told we're going to see, that the machlokes Rav Huna Chista actually parallels the machlokes Tanoim. So as we said, to see the how that parallel works, we're going to have to finish this long source, and then when we get to Amud Beis, we'll deal with that issue. Disanya, hoyu ksuvim targum uvechol loshoin, matzilin oison mipnei hadleka. If you had holy writings that were written in Aramaic or in any other language, they are saved from a fire. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein matzilin oson mipnei hadleka. Rabbi Yossi says, you're not allowed to save them from the flames. Omar Rabbi Yossi, Maise ba'aba chalafto, an incident involving father. His father's name was Chalafto, so Abba Chalafto. Shalach Eitzel Rabban Gamliel Beribi, Litveria. Abba Chalafto visited the Rabban Gamliel, the great. Rabbi Rabbi is a title, the great man, in Tveria. Umotzoi shoyo yoshev al shuchono shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Nizof. And he found, Abba Chalafto found Rabban Gamliel seated by the table of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nizof. Ubiyodoi sefer Iyov targum v'hu korebo. And he was holding the book of Iyov in Aramaic, and was reading from it. Omar lo, so Chalafta asked, or mentioned, Zachur ani b'Rabban Gamliel avi avicha. I remember your grandfather, Shoya Omeid Agabi Mala Bahar Habayis, who was standing on one of the steps leading to the Har Habayis, to the Temple Mount, v'hevio lefonav sefer Iyov Targum. And he was presented with the book of Iyov in Aramaic. The Omar Libanoi, and he, Rabbi Gamliel, your grandfather, said to one of the builders, Shakehu Tachas Hanadboch, take this book, take this scroll, and put it under one of the rows of stones of the building. Afhu Tziva Olav Gonzo. So Rabbi Gamliel Beribi also said the same thing. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer Areva Shaltit Kofu Olav. In a different version of the story, instead of placing it under a row of stones, a bowl of cement was inverted over it. Omer Rabbi Shtei Tshuvos Badavar. Two responses to this second version of the story. Chada V'chitit Bahar Abayis Minayin. First of all, what was Tit doing there at the Har Habayis? In other words, Tit was a type of cement. They didn't use that material. They used something called Traxid. And hence, Traxid was used for the building of the temple of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi points out the difference. Traxid is a material where dirt and seed and lime are mixed together, as opposed to tit, which is dirt and water. The ode, and furthermore, v'chi mutter labdom biyad, is it mutter to actively destroy them? and pouring over it a bowl of cement would be active destruction. Elo manichon b'mokam haturfa v'hein markiven me'alehen. Rather, you place them in an open area where they will get destroyed, decompose, rot on their own. Well, so far we had quite a long source, and the Tanakhama spoke about the holy works, the Ksuvin, in Aramaic or other languages, that they are to be saved, and Rabbi Yossi says they're not to be saved. And the Gemara asks, Man Tanoi, where do we see a Machlokis Tanoim that will parallel the Machlokis Rav Huna and Rav Chisda? Ilema Tanakamo the Rebbe Yossi. The Gemara here, we're continuing at the top of Amud Beis. You can see we have a double underline, and on the side under the Mivne heading, we indicate that this double underline marking highlights Shlavim, stages, Betshuva L'Sheila, in understanding the response to the question, Man Tanoi, who is the Machlokis Tanoim, Shemakbilim, the Machlokis Rav Chisda v'Rav Huna. As we mentioned, we're trying to find the parallel to the Machlokis Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Where do we see this in the Tanoim? So, if you say it's the Tanakama who would parallel Rav Chisda, and Rav Yossi who would parallel Rav Huna, the Tanakama holding Matzilin and Rav Yossi saying Ein Matzilin, Vidilma, it could be Baha Komiflagi, that the basis of the Machlokis, Tanakama and Rav Yossi, is really something else. Mor Sovar Nitnu Likros Bohen, the Tanakama says you can save them because he is of the opinion that you can read from them, that you're allowed to read from them, you're allowed to learn from them. Umor Sovar, and Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, Lo Nitnu Likros Bohen. Now, if that's the case, that doesn't help us, because we pointed out that Rav Chisda and Rav Huna were arguing within the opinion that says Lo Nitnu Likros Bohen. In other words, Rav Chisda says his din that you're Matzilino's son, even according to Mandomar, that you are not to read from them, you're not to learn from these works. So the Gemara continues, Elo, so where is the Machlokis Tanoim that would parallel Rav Chisda and Rav Huna? Elo, Rabbi Yossi. Okay, Rabbi Yossi is like Rav Huna. And Vitano de Giftis. The Tana of Giftis is a reference to, back on Omid Aleph, notice we have a star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You go back to Omid Aleph, in the wide lines, about halfway down the wide lines, try to find a star also in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and there you will notice a Tanaic source, and there was a dashed underline Giftis word. There it's Hoyuksuvim Giftis, it's an Giftis Modis Ivris, all kinds of different languages, and it said in that source, even though you cannot read from them, you are Matzil them. So here you have a clear Tanaic source like Rav Chisda. Though you cannot, you're not allowed to read from them, nevertheless, you are allowed to save them on Shabbos from a fire. So the Tana de Giftis parallels Rav Chisda, and Rabbi Yossi parallels Rav Huna. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side of the Gemara under our Nosei, where we have written Dvorim Shiesh Bohem Shem Hashem Velo Matzilim Mipnei Hadleka, things that have the name of the Almighty written in them, and yet we will not save them from a fire on Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a source, Habrochos V'Kmein. Brochos, as the word indicates, like the Shmone Esrei or other benedictions that are written out, and Kmein are amulets. Afapi Shiesh Bohen Oisius Shel Shame, even though they have the letters of the name of the Almighty. Umin Yonois Harbe Shabbatorah, and other Torah topics written in them. Ein Matzilin Osam Adleka, One is not to save them from a fire on Shabbos. Ela nisrofim b'mkomon. If a fire broke out, they will there to be get burnt where they are. Hein vaskrosam, those works and the names of the Almighty that are found in them. Once again, just to remind ourselves, we're talking about a situation where to take it from the place that's being engulfed by flames and take it outside would involve a Shabbos violation. Even if it's a rabbinic Shabbos violation, one is not allowed to carry them outside from the private domain into the other enclosed area, the courtyard that does not have an Eruv in it, for example. So they are to get be burnt where they are. Mikan Omru, based on this, it has been said, Kisve Brochos Kisorfe Torah. Those people who write out Brochos are like burners of the Torah. And it's in this sense that if a fire should break out, they will get burnt and not be allowed to be saved. Maisa Be'echot Shoya Kisev B'tzidon. There was an incident of someone who wrote Brochos in the city of Tzidon. Bo'ovodiu es Rabbi Shmuel. They informed Rabbi Shmuel of his practice. V'olach Rabbi Shmuel Avoko. Rabbi Shmuel went to check it out to see if this was true. He didn't go on hearsay. He wanted to check it out. Kishahoya Oila Basulam. As he was ascending the ladder, Hirgish Bo, that individual who wrote these things felt that Rabbi Shmuel was on his way. Notal Tumus Shel Brochos. He took a cluster, a bunch of these brochos that he prepared. Veshokon Besefer Shamayim, and he stuffed them into a flask full of water. Ubaloshon Hazeh Omar Lo Rabbi Shmuel. And in the following expression, Rabbi Shmuel expressed himself, Godol Oinesho Achron Min Horishon. Greater is the punishment for the second action more than the first action. In other words, it's bad enough you were writing them, but now what did you do? You did something worse. You physically destroyed them. You actively destroyed them. That's worse than just having written them and leaving them around. Maybe a fire one day would break out. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a diamond marking, one of our series markings on the side of the Gemara. We have under our Mivne heading the following. A diamond is featured, and we've written Sidro Shel She'elos Binyan Ma Matzilim Bnei Adleka. We have a series of questions regarding the general topic of what does one save from a fire. The topic heading, here you see the no say, we've written Hatzolas Sforim She'enom Ksuvim Bidyo. The saving of holy works that are written using an ink other than the Dyo ink. There are different types of ink materials that the Gemara will make reference to. And the Gemara is going to be asking, what is the din with regarding saving them? Even though they're not written with the, we'll call it the formal, very permanent type ink known as Dyo. The Gemara asks a question. You'll notice it's a long question. We have a shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Bo mine resh galusa me rabo ba ravuna. Resh galusa, the exilarch, asks a question of rabo. Hoyuksuvin, the Torah Nevi'im Uksuvin, are written Besam Ubesikro Bekumus Ubekankantom, different writing materials other than ink, other than Dyo, that is. Dyo is the formal, proper, let's say, best quality ink material, most permanent ink material, but these were written with these other materials, Sam, Sikro, Komus, or Kankantom, Beloshana Kodesh, they were written in Hebrew. Matzilin oison mitnei hadleka oi ein matzilin. This is two sides to the question. Do we say yes, save them or not? But before finishing the question, it becomes a little more elaborate and says that this question of whether we save them or not, tiboy lemadomer matzilin, tiboy lemadomer ein matzilin. this question is going to be raised according to both opinions that we have seen already regarding those books that are written b'chol loshoin. Here, we're talking about a case if it's written b'loshon HaKodesh. Now, tivoy lemandomar matzilin, once again, the question of do we save these books, the ones written b'sam, sikra, b'kuvs, kankanta, but they were written in Hebrew, do we save them or not? So the Gemara now goes over these points and elaborates. Tiboy lemandomar ein matzilin. Our current question with the diamond can be asked according to the Mandomar over there that we had seen regarding Nichtovim b'chol lashon that you don't save them. Hani mili hech deksivi targum b'chol lashon. When is it that he will be of the opinion you do not save? That's when the work is written in Aramaic or another language. Aval hocha deksivi b'lashon hakodesh matzilin. But in our question, since they were written in Lashon HaKodesh, so maybe we will save them. Maybe that's grounds for saving them. Oy Dilma, Afilu, in other words, according to this side of things, the emphasis is placed on the language. Oy Dilma, Afilu Mandar Matzilin, could be the question, this question could be posed even according to the Mandar Omar, the opinion that says that books or works written in all b'chol lashon you do save. Hani mili hecho deksivi b'dyo. That is true when they were written initially using the dyo type ink, the best quality, the permanent type ink, the mekayim that is long lasting. Aval hocha kevan d'lo mekayim lo. But here in the question, we're dealing with works written in Sam, Sikra, Komus, or Kankamtim. They're not as long-lasting as Dio. Maybe they don't justify, there is no justification for saving them. Omar Le, Rabbah answers, Ein Matzilin. So Rabbah says that, being that they were written with this lower quality ink, they are not worthy of being saved. Gemara asks, "V'hal Rav Hamnuna Tana Matzilin?" But Rav Hamnuna quoted a Tanaic source that says regarding this issue of works written with in Hebrew of with Sam Sikra Kumas Kankanim, you do save them. Amar Leh, so Rabba Ba Rav Huna answered, "E Tanya Tanya." If there is a Tanaic source, then so be it, and that's the way things should go. My Tanya, what is the Tanaic source that would indicate that the other works, the Torah, Nevi'im, Iksuvim, have significance, even if they're not written with Dio? So, Omar Ravashi, Kedisan, Ravashi says, as is taught in the following source, Ein Bein Sforim Lemegillah. There is no difference between Sforim. Sforim is a reference to all the holy works of the Tanakh, and the Megillah is a reference to the Megillas Esther. There is no difference between them. Elosha Sforim Nichtovim B'chol Lashon. The other Sforim can be written in any other language. Megillah Ashtek Suvo Ashurus Al HaSefer Ubidyo. The Megillah, though, must be written using Ashurus is the type of letters that we are familiar with, that you find in a Sefer Torah. This is called Ashuris, and Al HaSefer would be on parchment. Ubidyo, Dyo is the best quality ink. So in this source, it emphasizes that only the Megillah needs to be written using the Dyo type ink, whereas other Sforim don't need to be written using the Dyo type ink. Indicating, as we said before, that they could be written in those other materials, and hence the justification for saving them from a fire. A new question, and also this is a long question. You can see we have a long question marking. And before we continue with the Gemara, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading. We read Hatzolas Sforim Shebolu, the saving of Torah scrolls, or of holy scrolls that got worn out. She'ein bo lelakeh shmoinim v'chomesh osios. That the writing in there is so worn out that it has there remains less than 85 letters. what is the rule regarding saving them from a fire? And as we said before, a number of times when we speak about saving from a fire, it involves carrying it out from a private domain into a jointly held domain where there is no Eruv. And with regard to any other item, under ordinary circumstances, one would not be allowed to carry out from this private domain to that area. But here we're dealing with holy works. Balmine Rav Huna Bar Choluv Me Rav Nachman. Rav Huna asks of Rav Nachman a question. Sefer Torah She'ein Bo L'Laket Shmoinim V'Chomesh Osios Kagon Parshas Vayehi Binso Ha'oroin. A Sefer Torah that does not have even 85 letters. The number 85 letters is parallel or is characteristic of the portion in the Torah that's found in Sefer Bamidbar in Parshas Bahaloscha, the psukim that many are familiar with that we recite when we take the Torah scroll out of the ark in Shul. Vayhi ben Soharon, that has 85 letters, and it has that passage has significance in and of itself as if it were a book unto itself. We'll see a little bit more about this later in the Gemara, but that short passage has significance in and of itself. So and it happens to have 85 letters. So what about a Sefer Torah that doesn't have 85 letters in it? Matzilin oisa mipnei adleika oyein matzilin. Would you save it from a fire or not? You'll notice a bracketed section, and if you skip the brackets momentarily, you get right to the answer. Omar le ein matzilin. Rav Nachman tells you that if it lacks 85 letters, so you do not save it. What is the reason the brackets appear over here? So on the side of the Gemara, we have a note, and you'll notice we have a star, and we've indicated the following. Hasograim marim, the brackets show the ad kan ikru hasheila. The main question ends at the beginning of the brackets. Umiyad achrei hasograim ufia hatshuva, and right after the brackets appears the answer, as we demonstrated. But within the brackets, the Gemara raises a question and answers it. So let's look at the internal section now within the brackets. Omar Lei. So Rav Nachman, upon hearing Rav Huna Bar Cholov's question, says, V'tiboya loch parshas v'yibinso oroin gufa. Why not ask about that passage that is written alone and it's missing a letter? Ask specifically about that passage. In other words, instead of asking about 85, it lacks 85 letters. In other words, it's missing, it has less than 85 letters, which is the number of letters in Parshas Vayehi Ben Soha. And ask about you have a scroll that has only Vayehi Ben Soha Aron present, written there, and it's missing a letter. So the answer, why this question wasn't asked, Hecha dechoser parshas vayibin soro lo komibayali, where you have the entire passage of vayibin soro written out and it's missing one letter, that's not a question. Dekevon deis be askoros. Askoros means names of the Almighty. Since in that passage you have names of Hashem, afal gav de les be shmoinim v'chomesh oisiyos matzilin, even if you're lacking the 85 letters, we still will save it. Ki komi bayali. My question is, Sefer Torah she'ein bo l'laket mai. My question regards a Torah scroll that is it is so erased that you don't have an option of gathering, so to speak, of counting up 85 letters amongst whom there is no shame, Hashem. There are no azkoros. That's my question. So we're dealing with a severely erased or worn out Sefer Torah, whereby there aren't even 85 letters, and amongst the letters, the 84 or less letters that are there, you don't have a Shem Hashem. Omar Leh, so Rav Nachman answers, Ein Matzilin. We don't save it. Esvei, you'll notice we have a long question marking. The Gemara quotes a Tanaic source to challenge this answer. Targum Shekosvoi Mikra, that which is ordinarily in Aramaic that you wrote in Mikra, in Hebrew. O Mikra Shekosvoi Targum, or that which appears in Hebrew ordinarily and you wrote it in Aramaic. Uksav Ivris, or a Sefer Torah that was written using letters other than what we call Ashuris, other than the normal Torah letters. Ivris is another form of script. Matzilin, we save them, Mipnei Hadaleka, from the threat of a fire. The Ein Tzorach Lomar Targum Shebe Ezra V'Shebe Doniel V'Shebe Torah. And it goes without saying that you would save a holy scroll of the book of Ezra and Daniel that are ordinarily in Aramaic, and they're written in Aramaic, or the Targum in the Torah. Now this last point, notice what we have dashed underlined. If we focus just on the dashed underlining, we have the following. Matzilin Targum Sheba Torah. So the Gemara asks, Targum Sheba Torah, my Nihu. What is the Aramaic in a Torah, in a Sefer Torah? Answer, Yigar Sadusa. This is two words that are in Sefer Bracious that are in Aramaic. Yigar Sadusa. You save that from a fire. V'yafal gav, deles bo shmoinim v'chomesh osios. Even though in Yigar Sadusa, you have a total of 9 letters. You don't have 85 letters there, and you still save it. The Gemara answers, Ki tanyo hahi lahashlim. This Tanaic source that says that if it has Targum Sheba Torah there, you will save it. That is when those words help complete the number 85. I am asking about a case where you don't have 85 letters. What is the din? So the Gemara deflects that question, and therefore our question basically remains. As we continue in the Gemara says, Ivaya Laho, and we have a little note in the margin by the star that says, Lo Simanu with a diamond, Deshela Zu Hemshech HaShela HaKodemus. This essentially is a continuation of our previous question. So therefore we don't assign a diamond to this, but there is a question, Ibayaloho, Hani Shmoinim V'Chomesh Osios, the 85 letters that we require in order to justify saving a Torah scroll from a fire. Mifchunasois o Mifuzoros, the 85 letters, are they only if they are concentrated, they're gathered together, or they are scattered all over the place on the scroll. Rav Huna Omar Mechunasos. Rav Huna says they'd have to be gathered together. They'd have to be close together. It would seem that they'd have to form words, or at least be close together. Rav Chista Omar Afilu Mufuzaros. Even if they are in many different places. Meisvei, so we raise a Tanaic source as a kasha on Rav Huna. Sefer Torah Shibola, a worn-out Sefer Torah, im yesh bo lilake. Notice we dashed along where lilake means to gather, and you gather that which is scattered. So im yesh bo lilake shmoyin v'chomesh oisus kigon parshat even so aron, if it has 85 letters in it that you could theoretically gather which would correspond to the number of letters in the parsha, Vayibin Sa'aron, Matzilin. Then that's justification for saving it. V'im lav, ein Matzilin. But if it doesn't have 85 letters, you do not save it from the fire. Tiufta de Rav Huna. This would appear to be a repudiation of Rav Huna. Rav Huna had indicated that only Mechunasos do you save it. Here it seems even if they're Mefuzaros. Tirgamo Rav Chisdo Aliba de Rav Huna. This is a beautiful act, if you will, in argumentation. Here Rav Huna's opponent, namely Rav Chisdo, provides an answer to defend Rav Huna, his opponent, against this source as a question on him, on Rav Huna. So Rav Chisdo explained for the benefit of Rav Huna, Betevos. This source speaks about the gathering together. When it speaks about gathering together, it's speaking about the gathering together of words. Tevos are words. So that it's not. So if it has in it words that you can gather together, and the letters would, in all of those words would amount to 85, so you save it, leaving room still for Rav Huna's position that if they were merely scattered letters, randomly scattered letters, so you would not save it. So that what Rav Chisdo did here was effectively preserved Rav Huna's position from the question posed by this source. That, once again, that as far as Rav Huna would be concerned, this source is speaking about the gathering together of letters that are in word form. But since they're in word form, you save it. If they were merely scattered letters, you wouldn't be allowed to save it. And that will conform to Rav Huna's position. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei, our topic heading, we've written Parshas Vayibin Soa Oron Nunim Hafuchim, the inverted nuns, or the reverse nuns. If you were to open a formal Torah scroll, or if you open up many Chumashim as well, and go to Parshas Bahalosha, Bamidbar Perek Yud, you will find reversed nuns preceding and after the psukim forming this short parsha that we're referring to as Vayhi ben Sa'aron. Tanu Rabbanan. Vayhi ben Sa'aron, Vayomer Moshe. Parsha zu asei oso lakodesh baruch hu simonios milamalo ulamata. This short section of the Torah, and it basically comprises Bamidbar Perek Yud Posuk Lamed Hey and Posuk Lamed Vav. And you're familiar, everyone is, many of you are familiar with these two psukim. Vayibin Sa'oron, Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem, Vifutze Evecha, Vyonusim Yisanach Miponecha, Uvenucha Yoymar Shuvu Hashem, Ruvavos Alfa Yisrael. Those two psukim have in the tradition of writing a Sefer Torah what the Brisa here refers to as simonios, the signs, but in this case the signs are specifically a backwards nun at the beginning and a backwards nun at the end of the before the two, these two psukim, before pasuk lamed hey and after pasuk lamed vav, and milamalo means from at the beginning and lamato at the end. Lomar, the presence of these traditional reversed nuns tells us, we continue at the top of Kuf Tes Zayin in the Gemara, She'en Ze Mekoimo, that this is not its proper historical or chronological place. Rebbe disagrees, Rebbe Omer, Lo Min Hashem Hu Ze, that is not the reason for the nuns. And rather, this is the proper location for this passage in the Torah. Ela mitnei sefer choshuv hu b'fnei atzmo. They are there to signify that these two psukim are or constitute a separate book unto themselves. We glance at Rashi at the top, She'en Zeh Mekoymo. The Tanakhama's opinion was that these psukim by Ibn Sauron, which describes the traveling of the Oron in the Midbar, she'ena ruya lekan, it doesn't belong over here in Parshas Balosva, the lav balichis masos mishtoi li'el mino, because this pasuk which speaks about the traveling of the Oron is not coming on the heels of a pasuk that deals with the setup of the camp as it traveled in the Midbar. Elo b'digolim hoisa ru'uya likosev v'parshas b'midbar Sinai. It would have been more appropriate to have this pasuk that deals with the traveling of the Aron back in Parshas b'midbar, which deals with the setup of the Jewish camp as it traveled in the Midbar. And this pasuk would then attached or affixed to the section in the description of the setup of the camp of where the Oron actually was when they were encamped. The next Rashi, Lo Min Hashem Huzeh, this is Rashi explaining Rebbe's position, who said that this pasuk is in its right place here in Parshas Balosha. Lo Zeh Hashem Shel Tame Hasimonios. In other words, what you, the Tanakhama, said is not the reason for the reversed nuns that appear in the Torah. Demekoma hu. The pasuk is in its right place. The parsha zu betchilas masa shenosu mehar Sinai Iri. The Iri li'el minei. Vahi b'chodesh hasheni b'shon hashen is besim l'chodesh na'ala onan v'chulei. If you look in the Torah and you look at Pasuk Lamed Gimel of Bamidbar Yud, it says the Jewish people traveled from Mount Sinai, a distance of 3 days, and the Oron Bris Hashem was traveling in front of them. And it therefore, this Pasuk, which is Pasuk Lamed Hay, which mentions as the Oron was traveling, is in a reasonable context. So it's not out of place. And therefore, Rebbe came on to say that the reverse nuns are there to signify that psukim lamed hey and lamed vav constitute a safer, as it's as if it's a separate book, a separate scroll, a separate book of the Torah. We're used to saying that there are five books of the Torah, they were commonly known as the five books of Moses. According to Rebbe, this is a separate book. So that you would have, according to Rebbe, you'd have Bereishis, Shmois, Vayikra, and the book of Bamidbar up till this pasuk, these two psukim. Then you have these two psukim. So we mentioned Bereishis 1 and 2 is Shmois, 3 Vayikra, 4 beginning of Bamidbar, 5 this unit of two psukim. Then the balance of Sefer Bamidbar would be 6, and Sefer Dvarim would be 7. So according to Rebbe, we would refer to the seven books of Moses. The Gemara continues, Keman az lahodom Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni omer Rabbi Yonason. Based on which Tanaic opinion is Rav Shmuel's teaching, a posuk in Mishle says, Chotzva amudel shiva, that it has 7 yun pillars. What is that a reference to? Elu Shiva Sifrei Torah. That's a reference to the 7 books of the Torah. Keman, who would that be like? To describe the Torah as being made of 7 books. Answer, Kerebi. It conforms to Rebbe, as we demonstrated a moment ago. Man Tana de Poligole de Rebbe, who is the opinion that disagrees with Rebbe? In other words, who is the opinion that holds that Vayhi ben Sauron is not written in its right place? And in other words, it's stuck into Parshas Balosva for some reason, but not that this is where the pasuk belongs. So the answer to who is the Tana? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Who? This is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who holds that Vayhi ben Sauron is not written in its right place. Desanya. The Brisa featuring Reb Shmuel Leal says, Reb Shmuel Oimer, Asida Parsha Zu, in the future, this Parsha, the Parsha of Vayhi Ben Sa'aron, and the word Asida means in the future. Rashi says, La'osid, in the future, Shiukol HaPuronios Betelin, Velo Yidagu LePuronos V'yetzahora Botel. It's a future time, we can say with some degree of certainty, the time after the coming of the Moshiach, when all punishments will cease to be present and people won't worry about being punished and the evil inclination will be botel. So we're talking about a future time. So when that comes, the Asida Parshazu, the Gemara continues, Te'oker Mikan, it will be uprooted from here in Parshas Ba'aloscha, V'tikase B'makoma, and it'll be rewritten in its right place. And we said before, its right place would be the way the Jewish nation was encamped in the Midbar, which is called the Degolim. Degolim are literally the flags, but it's, as we said, it's the way the camp was set up. So this parsha will be uprooted and it will be written there. The Loma Kosvokan, so what's it doing here in Ba'aloscha? Kedei lahafsik bein pur'onus rishona lepur'onus shnia, so as to serve as a block between two negative, punus literally means punishment, or we could say punishable events. Pur'onus shnia maihi, what is meant by the second punishable event? Answer, vayhi ha'om kemisoininim. This is right after Posuk Lamed Vav, you have Bamidbar Yun Aleph, Posuk Aleph, which describes the Jewish nation as complaining about their situation in the Midbar. They didn't have meat. They remembered all kinds of foods that they had in Mitzrayim. Then they started to complain about the mon. So that's the parsha of the Misoininim, which of course is a very problematic historical event. They're complaining about, of all things, the mon, the ultimate type food that they were receiving. Puronus Rishona is the posuk Vayisu Mehar Hashem. This is posuk Lamed Gimel. It's right before Vayhi Ben Sa'aron. At posuk Lamed Gimel, it says they traveled away from Mount Sinai. The Gemara continues. V'omar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina shesoru me'acharei Hashem. They traveled and turned away from Hashem. V'heichon mekoma, where is its place? Omar Rav Ashi b'degolim, as we saw before in Rashi, but of course the Gemara precedes Rashi historically. Rav Ashi says that the right place is in degolim, in the section of the Torah dealing with the flags, or more accurately, dealing with the encampment of the Jews, that as is featured in Parshas Bamidbar. Now, we mentioned here, Puronus Rishona was their traveling away from the Mount Sinai, Vayisu Mehar Hashem. Tosfos quotes the Pirush HaKuntres, and then he, Pirush HaKuntres is Rashi's Pshat, and then he gives his own Pshat. What we want to do right now is look at the Tosis Pshat, which you find in our Tosis top, the third line from the top, the Re, we have them double underlined. The Re says, the Ein Nira Li, the Rashi Pshat doesn't appear to him to be the right one. El Peronis Rishonik Domer B'Medrash, Vayisu, Shenosu, Mehar Sinai, they traveled from Har Sinai, Der Shalishis Yomim, Ketino Kayotsimi Beis HaSefer, like a child at the end of the school day, runs away from the school. Shaboreachlo, vaholechlo, which is normal for kids, young children that are kept indoors for many hours during the day, studying. But here, the entire adult population reacted the same way. They ran away from Mount Sinai where they had learned Torah, where they had learned a lot of Torah, and it now came a certain point, and they ran. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, lo nismok pu'anus u'pu'anus. It's not right, it's not dignified, if you will, to have two problematic events placed right next to each other. Elo nifsok parshas vayibin so'aron. Rather, let's put this into the Torah, the parsha vayibin so'aron, between these two negative events, the event of them running away from Torah learning, as the Ri explains, and the event of the complaining of the meat. So the Almighty said, have this section, Pesukim Lamed Hei Lamed Vav, stuck in to separate between the two negative events, and as a means of preserving the honor, the dignity of Klal Yisrael. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.